Fantastic, fabulous Friday.
I've
also said wonderful, but it's not Wednesday, so I can't.
It's not allowed to be wonderful.
No. I mean, it can be. It just didn't match with the theme that I was going for.
I gotcha.
Let us know who you are, where you're watching from, so we can say hi to you guys, because it's family chat.
It's family chat.
And we want to interact with you guys. Also, make sure that you share this, you like this, you subscribe. There should be a little, if you're not subscribed, it'll be a little red icon. You click it, and I think it either turns gray or white. One of the two. Also, hit the little notification bell so you get notified when we go live, because we're awesome, guys. Who wouldn't want to hear the wonderful word of God?
We also go live more than once a day,
That's true. You
get to be notified every time. So
we have 6 a.m. prayer now, guys.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
So that's even better.
Yes, and welcome to Lunch Plus. We have an awesome word about hunger. It is going to be great. This whole week has been wonderful about going, just the different aspects. There's so many different aspects to hunger. But right now we have family chat.
Also, before we officially get started, we, just so you guys know right from the beginning, we have been having some technical difficulties this week. The enemy has been like attacking hard, but it's not gonna stand and it's not gonna work.
Amen.
So we do know about the technical difficulties, guys. We have been working through them, but with them going on, you guys can be believing with us, praying that they're done.
Yeah.
Because like we said, it's just an attack from the enemy.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And it can't stay.
Yeah.
It's gotta go. It's gotta
Amen.
Leave.
Amen.
So.
Okay, but so we do have family chat still.
We do.
So we do have some questions, and we're going to ask the question, and then we're going to say hi to you all. So go for it.
Okay. So if we're counting all 50 states were a food, what food would they be?
I'm going to say Alaska is, what's the dessert? The baked Alaska.
There's a dessert?
Yeah. Isn't that a dessert, baked Alaska?
I have no idea.
That's like ice cream. It's like an ice cream dessert.
Oh, interesting.
That's just the first thing I
thought
of.
I would have said Alaska would have been something fish.
Salmon, probably. Honestly,
like,
probs.
How did you just say that?
Probs?
No.
Salmon. We're not going to go into how people say Arabella.
You said it like salmon. You said it weird.
Okay.
I don't know. I think you were trying not to say salmon, and you started saying salmon, and it just mixed the two of them together.
I would say that pink fish, though, is the one that probably would be Alaska more than the others.
Sydney and my dad both said North Carolina would be barbecue.
Okay.
We have been discussing this in the office, and we said North Carolina would be barbecue, and people were like, when I say people, I mean Marky and Serena, were like,
under the bus.
They were like, no, North Carolina wouldn't be barbecue.
I just don't think barbecue when I think North Carolina. I do think, now this isn't a food, but I do think Cheerwine.
Okay, but that's not a food.
That's true, so it wouldn't count. But then I would count Duke's mayonnaise.
That's not food. You don't just sit there and eat it by the spoonful, and it doesn't fill you up if you're just sitting there eating it.
Yes. That is true. Okay, we do have answers coming in.
We do.
I think that Andrew said Texas would be
beef,
and then he said Maine would be lobster, so that's
Texas
true.
Texas would be known for its brisket or its T-bone steaks.
Mm-hmm, I could see steak.
Texas is good. Wisconsin, already a given for
cheese.
Yes.
Oh, Maryland is crab. Andrew, you're on fire with this. Joni says pink fish is delicious. I'm just going to call it pink fish from now on.
Seth said Florida, gator nuggets.
Okay. I would think
Florida is also known for strawberries.
Really?
Yes. When we went to the river a few years ago, they have like strawberry cookies there that they make, and they're so good.
Why do I think oranges for Florida?
Because they have oranges on their license plate.
Okay, that's what the food that I think.
I could see oranges.
Yes. Joni says, who would be the hot dog? And Seth thinks New York would be hot dogs.
No, New York is bagels.
Or pizza.
Yes, but also Illinois is also known for pizza because of Chicago.
Illinois?
Because Chicago's in it, and the deep dish pizza.
I understand. Somebody did say peaches for Georgia. Yes.
That one's also a given.
Fallon is also wondering pizza or hot dogs.
Pizza.
I guess we could give pizza to Illinois if we can, because then I don't think of any other food.
So we'll say New York is known for its hot dogs and bagels. We'll say that.
There's also Chicago hot dogs.
But Chicago's mainly known for its pizza, which is Illinois.
Leave it with pizza.
I'm just saying.
Ooh, William came in with Pennsylvania for the Philly cheesesteak. That's a good one.
Philly cheesesteaks are solid. Jennifer said Wyoming bison burger.
I know nothing about Wyoming, so I'll trust you with that one.
Jake said Vermont equals maple syrup.
Okay, that counts.
That's not a food.
I'll give it to you, Jake. I think that counts.
Like, I feel like, but I also don't think. No.
Can you put it in your mouth?
Yes, but does it fill you up? No. Does it give you nutrition? No. Andrew said North Carolina shrimp? No.
Interesting.
North Carolina.
I would not have thought that.
I think we are more known for our barbecue than we are shrimp. If we want shrimp, I'd be going to, like, Louisiana or something like that.
That's a good one.
Like, what my dad said, Louisiana would be gumbo or bay nuts.
Is that how you say that? Bay nuts?
Something like that.
Yes. Shanae says, please don't give New York hot dogs.
Okay, guys, hot dogs are not going to New York.
Fallon agrees that Chicago, Illinois would be pizza. Okay,
exactly.
So we got that one. Ooh, okay, so we're getting some of these other ones that I would not have thought of. Jake says New Hampshire would be apple cider donuts.
Ooh, that sounds
good.
Those sound good. Seth said Chicago has better pizza. I won't talk no sass here.
Now, the only time I had Chicago-style pizza, deep dish pizza, was in...
Texarkana?
Yes, Texarkana, Arkansas, or Texas, one of those. I don't remember which side it was on. And it wasn't my favorite. It felt like a tomato... casserole.
Yeah, I could see that.
Is what it felt like. They are known for that, so I will give them credit for that.
Sinead did bring up a solid point. She said Chicago pizza is the deep dish stuff, not a classic slice, though.
Yes.
So if we were giving classic pizza, New York. If we were giving deep dish, that'll go to Illinois. Fallon said, what are we giving California? I said tofu.
Or grapes. I feel like they have
grapes.
A lot of grapes for like vineyards and stuff, I think.
I guess I could see that.
I think somebody else thought another state for pizza. I was trying to, was it Connecticut? Is that what
no.
it was?
No. They said
I don't know what I would think Connecticut would be.
I have no idea.
For tacos or for California rolls. Y'all are awesome with this.
Tabitha and Andrew, Tabitha brought up a good point. Kentucky is fried chicken.
Yes.
For
that's
sure.
That's a good one.
My mom asked and said, are y'all hungry? Surprisingly,
it's lunchtime.
I mean, kind of. I'm a little hungry.
That's probably why we talk about food so much. Is because it's lunchtime.
Probably.
Whenever the broadcast
and we
is
typically
starting.
Don't eat till the broadcast is over.
True. Jennifer, she says Hawaii, spam or pineapple. Those are two great ones.
I was gonna say Hawaii is definitely known for the pineapple.
Yes, and for some reason spam. I'm not sure.
Really?
Why. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have not heard much about spam and Hawaii
You wouldn't think of it, but, okay, so Cincinnati, Ohio. Andrew brings up a good one for Cincinnati spaghetti. What else would you think of Ohio for?
Ohio for, not for spaghetti.
Have you heard of Cincinnati spaghetti?
No.
Oh, wait, that's not Ohio. Yeah, Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
Where's Cincinnati?
I have no idea.
What state is Cincinnati in? Ohio, that's what I thought.
Okay.
Yeah, Cincinnati spaghetti. It's like, I think it has like cinnamon or something in it. It's actually pretty good.
I do not want cinnamon in my spaghetti.
What other food would you say for Ohio?
Ohio? I would think like mashed potatoes.
I'm okay with that.
Idaho is potatoes.
Yes.
So I don't know if mashed potatoes would count for Cincinnati.
This is so, you guys are coming up with amazing things. Ooh, Matthew says Arizona. Armadillo biscuits? I've never heard of an armadillo biscuit.
Interesting.
Tabitha
also brought up a great point. I think of coconut for Hawaii, too.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, that's true.
Seth said, Serena, you got Chicago-style pizza in Arkansas.
That's the problem. Baby.
And then my mom responded and said, it's a place. They were from Chicago, and then they brought it to Texarkana.
That's true. So it was still legit.
So I say that counts as
legit. Thank you. Yeah. Yes. The Italian place. Wow, you guys, that was some great answers right there. Thank you for helping us, because I would not have thought of a lot of those. So next up, I want to know, what's North Dakota food, William? I want to know that one. Just like borscht. What is borscht?
Interesting.
It's a lot of Ukrainian food.
And also, German food. Tennessee would be apples.
What?
Because Tennessee is in the mountains. I mean, if we want to go apple picking, you typically go towards Tennessee to get apples.
I also think barbecue for Tennessee, too.
No. barbecue is not only... No, I'm not saying it's only North Carolina, but Tennessee and barbecue. Tennessee really is known for its apple stuff. Like apple butter. Is solid.
Yeah, Buddy really likes apple butter. Well, thank you for joining this. People are asking about the 100th comments. I think we must be close. So
keep commenting.
We're going to move into declarations. So make sure to be typing those in the comments too. We want to get to that 100th comment before the word starts. So
we are also, surprise guys, we're doing declarations here because why not?
Why not?
I know you guys enjoy talking with us and seeing us. So
we figured
why not make it more? Make it, I was going to say better, but that sounds kind of bad. Anyways.
You get two of us instead of one of us.
That's true.
So there you go.
Two for the price of one.
Okay. Take it away,
all right,
ma'am.
Our first declaration. So say these with us because it is important to speak the word.
Amen.
So we keep increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. The next one. The struggle is over. And guys, do we have one? Oh, we do. This is our year of the fire. And guys, we've reached our 100th commenter. It is my dad, Johnny. So if you would like to claim your gift, go to whatsright.com/gift. I think that's where you go.
Sounds right.
Yep. Sounds right.
Congratulations, Johnny.
And he won it for saying, there's the apple barn in Pigeon Forge, which is why I think of apples.
Good job.
Anyways, guys, while we work on going to the word, we want you to share this, like it, let people know Lunch Plus is live. And we will see you guys later.
Bye.
What's up, guys?
Hey,
welcome to What's the Word. It's that time again.
It's the time. The time that you've been waiting for.
Yes, it is. 12:18. I have been patiently waiting for this time since 12:17. It's finally here. Hi, how's it going?
I just want to make sure, are we recording?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Oh, wait, no, we're not, because that needs to get hit. Sammy, record!
Yay.
Thank you, Sammy.
Thank you.
Thank you. Guys, just so you're aware, I know some of you guys were putting in the comments that there was some choppiness, there was a little bit of issues with the audio. There have been some very stupid attacks on all of the technology and media stuff in like the last 3 days. So as our partners, as people who watch this live stream pretty regularly, some of you guys are on every single day, be believing with us that all of this stuff is done and over and just through, because it's dumb. So anyways, if there is anything that has been thus far in the broadcast, it's not going to be on the recording. We just started 30 seconds ago. So if it gets bad, we'll do what we've done before and re-upload it. But we're not believing that it's going to be that way, because the broadcast is going to be awesome today.
Yeah, it is.
We have the siblings on today for What's the Word. Everybody always tells us, like, whenever we go anywhere, it's like, are you guys siblings?
I know. Well, we're even kind of matching today with
our blue.
Yeah.
My jeans are much more like, I don't know what the right word for this is. They look dirty, but they're not. it's like a Hot Topic kind of look.
Oh my goodness. I was at the mall a couple weeks ago with my sister, mm-hmm. and we walked past Hot Topic, and like I just kind of got a little like tense. I was like, like
I can feel the ick.
Yeah. Like it's an interesting store.
Tony says, "But are you guys on a tripod right now?"
No.
No, we're not. We're Praise actually the Lord. On the legit cameras. It's so good.
I know.
I'm excited.
I know.
We got Joni on. Sorry.
No, right ahead.
No, you did the, which means it's your turn to talk. Go.
I took a breath so I could speak.
Do it.
Hello, Andrew and Joni and Matthew and Fallon. Fallon says she's watching from Troy. Sammy's watching from the switcher.
We got Jonna in the Philippines.
Jake says, I was a Hot Topic kid back in the day.
Really?
Me too. I would go to Hot Topic and that was like my spot.
I used to be scared of Hot Topic.
I'm scared of it now. Well, not scared, but like it just...
You're hesitant to go in Hot Topic.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. The only reason I would go in was to get those little like vinyl Funko things. You know, like the dudes with the big heads.
Oh,
the little figures. Okay. I used to collect those. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, they only sell these at Hot Topic. I'm going to run in, okay, I'm grabbing it, paying, and I'm running out. So
I just remember going and like getting gauges and thinking that it was the coolest store ever, and good times.
Anyways.
Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Can I get an amen in the comments?
Amen. We got Greg on. Greg says hello. We got Sydney watching from Salisbury. Fallon says, Marky, I miss you too. Dylan says, hello. Hello, Dylan. Are you anywhere near the church today? If you are, come say hi. We've got Jennifer in the comments. Sammy says amen. Awesome.
Amen, amen.
It's going to be a good day today.
Well, yes, if you haven't already, like this broadcast, share it with someone you know.
Yeah, do it.
Because the Lord's got an on-time word for us. We've been talking about hunger all week, and it's been powerful.
Yeah.
What I've really enjoyed about this series that we've done this week is the importance of highlighting that hunger shouldn't be birthed or sustained from a position of an emotion.
Yep.
Hunger shouldn't be something that we're driven by emotionally.
Yeah.
Hunger is not an emotion. Hunger is, we can make a choice. Obviously, we make that choice with our soul, but it's not sustained by our soul. It's not sustained by our strength.
Yeah.
It's sustained by the Spirit of God. So, yeah. You ready?
I'm ready.
Let's hop in.
Let's do it.
Glory to God. So, hi, hello, how are you doing today? Are you doing good? I hope you're doing good. If you're not doing good, you're about to be gooder than ever before.
Yeah,
amen, hallelujah. So, let's just open up with this phrase. So, hunger sees the breakthrough without considering the current situation or diagnosis.
Yeah.
Hunger sees the breakthrough without thinking about considering what's going on in the natural. Hunger sees what's been made available. Hunger sees what Jesus has done for us. Hunger sees that we have an opportunity to have divine health in our body now. Hunger sees the breakthrough, no matter what the doctors say, no matter what the bank account says, no matter what our emotions are saying. Hunger sees the breakthrough. And we're not saying that hunger itself has eyeballs and it's seeing something.
Yeah.
But hunger is a heart posture. Hunger is a position that we have in the Lord with our faith, with our eyes to see and ears to hear. Hunger sees the breakthrough.
Yeah.
Hunger sees the breakthrough.
Yeah.
By faith, I see what's been made available to me. I see it in the Word. I've seen it in the corporate assembly. I've seen it in private time and prayer. I see the breakthrough is mine. And it's only a matter of time before it manifests in the natural.
Yeah.
Hunger receives it now. I have it now. It's my healing and I have it now. Called 8-500.
Amen.
Did anyone see that commercial? You don't know that commercial? It's like call 8 cash back now. Okay. Anyways, we can move on. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Anyways, okay, your turn.
Okay. Well, what the Lord was bringing up to me just as you were talking right there, mm-hmm. Was the importance of having our focus set on Him.
Yeah.
Really, in everything that we've been talking about the last week, the week before. Last week we were talking about the flow. The entire week was about being in Him and staying in the flow. This week's been all about hunger. And the main focus that's really stuck out to me in the last couple weeks is making sure that we have our eyes fixed on the right place.
Yes.
The thing that was, the verse that was sticking out to me, I believe it's in Matthew 22. I was wanting to try to find it really quick. Let me just do a quick little cursory glance. Let me see. Okay, it may not be in Matthew 22. I may be off a little bit. Anyways, the scripture that I'm trying to reference is where it says, you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And if any of you guys have ever heard Pastor minister this or any of the rest of us minister this on the broadcast talking about love, there's a lot of different kinds of love in the Bible. There's four different Greek words. There's actually seven different Greek words, but four used in the Bible, one of which is agape. And that's the kind of love that the Father has for us.
Yes.
And what that is, the way that pastors described it, is a choice and a commitment to unconditional giving at the leading of God.
Right.
Right. But what in what Hannah was saying just a second ago is right at the first, thank you for putting it in there, Marky. It's Matthew 22, 37. It was a little bit off. There it is. I'll just read it. It says, and he said to him, this is Jesus talking. It says, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. So what it's saying there, literally the first couple words in that, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, talking about love. Love is a choice. We have to make the choice to make him our focus.
For sure.
Yeah, where it says we're supposed to love him with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind. That doesn't leave room for something else to be in first place.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to be the thing that we're focused on all the time. And I love what you had in that opening statement that you had. Hunger sees the breakthrough without considering the current situation or diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
When our eyes are fixed on anything other than him, we're looking at something lesser.
Yeah.
We're not called to look on him. I mean, the scripture says, think on things worthy of praise. Only think on things worthy of praise. So if it's not something that's making us lift our hands and praise God for it, we're not called to think on it.
For sure.
So if there's, for example, what you were saying earlier, there's a bad diagnosis, if there's seemingly a lack in a certain area, let's say, you know, your bank account doesn't look like it has enough to pay rent this month. We're not called to look at that deficit, that seeming, you know, lack of funds. What we're supposed to do is have eyes of faith and look at who's going to provide for us.
Yes.
Fix our eyes on him. And when we fix our eyes on him and hunger for those things, that's when he fills us.
Yeah. Well, think about we've talked about it this week, I know, but you're not going to want to eat if you're not hungry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Think about times where, like, you've had, like, a super big lunch, and at that point when it comes time for dinner, you're like, I don't really think, I'm not really in for dinner right now, because at that point in the natural, you're filled and you're seemingly satisfied.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what's cool about the Lord, and we were talking about this before the word, is I shouldn't let my seemingly satisfaction in the Lord keep me from continuing to hunger.
Yes.
Like, I can think of times where I've received powerfully from the Lord, or even like this morning at corporate prayer, 6 a.m. prayer that we have here and that we broadcast on this channel. You know, it was a powerful time of prayer.
Yeah.
So, you know, instead of going, well, I encountered the Lord this morning and power flowed through me and praise Lord, hallelujah. So I'm just going to clock out from God's presence until Sunday. See ya. You know, that's not what I should do. Hunger will keep me in a position that's consistently seeing a breakthrough that's been made available, because God's way is increase, 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 increase. He says, you'll go from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from increase to increase. And, you know, I think in the natural, if it seems like, well, God says I'm going from increase to increase, and so why didn't my bank account not go from like 10 grand to a million in a day? I'm not saying that's not possible, but these breakthroughs that are available in the Lord, it requires an ability to see that God is working mightily on my behalf. He's moving mountains as I speak. He's moving the mountain as I speak.
Yeah.
So this breakthrough, it doesn't have to come in a perfect package the way that we think it should happen. God is working. And so the more that I press into his presence, the more that I'll see his breakthrough, because it's his breakthrough.
Yeah.
It's not even my breakthrough. It's him breaking through for me in the natural.
Yeah.
It's his presence flooding everything that I do. I think that's something that's held me up in the past, is comparing like my breakthrough to someone else's breakthrough.
Yeah.
Well, they just got financially blessed. Lord, what's going on? Where's my financial breakthrough?
Yeah.
Something like that. It's like, we've got to remember, too, that God is working on our behalf.
Yeah.
Just because my breakthrough isn't looking like your breakthrough doesn't mean I'm not breaking through.
Yes.
And I also haven't seen what you've been doing in the secret place.
Yeah.
That's the thing, too, about breakthrough with people is we cannot compare our breakthrough to someone else's breakthrough.
Yep.
The only breakthrough I should be comparing myself to is Jesus.
Exactly.
Did Jesus have it? Then that means I can have it.
Yes.
You know, I mean, Jesus had a treasure. You got to be pretty blessed to have a treasure. You know what I mean?
And not just like a treasure off somewhere. Dude's literally following with you, carrying a box full of treasure.
Treasure.
Like, that's where the word treasurer comes from. You got to have some treasure.
Yes, it's exactly.
So cool.
But so we see there that his character and nature is a provider. He's, I'm Jehovah Jireh.
Yep.
So everything that Jesus did in his ministry, in his earthly ministry, he was provided for.
Yes.
You know, we don't have a blanket statement scripture that says Jesus always was a billionaire, trillionaire, and he had bukus all the time. It's he lacked nothing. He needed for nothing. He had exactly what he needed at all times. It's a flow. You know, we have a teaching on this channel that Brother Brian did a couple weeks ago talking about the flow of finances. And I had no idea we were going to be talking about money today. So this is from the Holy Spirit. But the way of breakthrough is I lack for nothing. I need for nothing. I have a breakthrough that says, Lord, by faith, I call in every resource I need. By faith, I call in the supply. Breakthrough doesn't always have to look what we think it should look like. Breakthrough should be, what has God said? What do I see in the Word? What's been made available to me? And Lord, I'm not going to stop hungering for you until I see that manifest in my life. I'm not going to stop pressing in until I see that manifest in my life. Yeah. Brother Jerry Savelle has a powerful sermon where he, in context of the sermon is, if you won't quit, you won't fail.
Yes.
If you won't quit, you won't fail. And this is the breakthrough that's been made available to us through hunger. Through hunger. It doesn't look at the circumstances. It doesn't look at what's going on or what even my own flesh. I don't even consider my own flesh. We have some of this in the notes. But hunger doesn't even consider what's going on in the natural.
Yeah. Matthew 6:33 is such an excellent verse
that
outlines literally everything you were just saying.
Yeah.
It says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
Yeah.
If you want to know what all these things are, when I was a kid, I was always like, oh, what are all of these things that I'm supposed to get when I seek first the kingdom? The back part of Matthew 6, 25 down to 34, lists all of that out. It says, for this reason, I say to you, don't be worried about your life, as to what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor your body as to what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? And it goes on to list literally all of the things that God will provide for us if we'll just seek him. And seek him first.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a secondary thing that needs to be happening in our lives. It's not work. Our job is not our focus.
Mm-hmm.
Our enjoyment's not our focus. The football game on Sunday afternoon's not our focus. There is no other focus that we're called to have that's higher than him.
Yes.
In everything that we do, he is our focus and our priority. It says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That's talking about hunger. Mm-hmm. And like Hannah was saying earlier, one of the things that I've heard that has really blessed me recently, hearing Pastor Minister at hearing Barrett, Pastor Zach talk about it, is not getting full on spiritual junk food. There's a lot of different things, and we have it in the notes. We're going to talk about it in a minute. But there are a lot of things that could try to get in the way of us seeking him.
Mm-hmm.
Not anything that has the power or the authority to override God in any sense of the matter, but things that could try to get our focus off, like we were talking about earlier. When we're called to hunger after him, we're not called to hunger 95% him, 5% the world.
Right.
95% him, 5% the new Marvel movie that's going to come out. 95% him, 5% the new episode, the 1036th episode of Grey's Anatomy that's going to come out sometime. He's literally supposed to be our entire focus,
mm-hmm.
the entirety of everything that we focus on. And when we will make the choice to hunger after him with all of who we are, love him with all of who we are, he has promised us blessing. He has promised us abundance. He has promised us provision in every way.
Yes.
If only we'll look after him, and if only we'll hunger after him and seek him first.
It's so cool. It makes me think of Jeremiah, where he says, if you love me and you seek me with all of your heart. That's a huge part of seeking him. And I think has been a hang up for modern Christianity in the past is like, I don't understand. It's like, where is God? I'm seeking him. And it's kind of like a passive seek. Like, it doesn't say we're not supposed to seek him passively. You know, hunger is not passive. Hunger is very active. It's, you know, you're in it. You're very aware of what your stomach is telling you when you're hungry. And like he says, seek me with all your heart, all your strength. Love me with all your strength. Your whole body, like giving everything that you are into him. And this is the hunger, you know, on the thumbnail, it says from hunger to feast, you know, and this is what's been made available is a feast. He says, I prepared a table for you in the presence of your enemies. And, you know, we don't have enemies in heaven. He's talking about right here, right now. There's a feast that's been made available for me. He says, I have prepared it. I have prepared the table for you. He doesn't say, I'm going to prepare the table for you. I have prepared the table for you in the presence of your enemies. Yes, though 10,000 may fall, but I will still be standing. I'm still going to be feasting. Why? Because it's been made available to me. And with hunger, you know, the more that we know that's been made available to us in the anointing, the more we can hunger for it. Truly, the more that I see what's been available on that feasting table, you know, think about your favorite foods. What are some things that's going to make you like, man, I want to get to that table now. The more of the promises that we see that have been made available to us, the hungrier that will get from hunger to feast. Think about it like a cycle. From hunger to feast, from hunger to feast, because the more that we feast on the goodness of God, the more we're going to want to feast on him. He is the well that cannot run dry. He is the everlasting. He is the almighty. He is the never ending, the beginning and the end. Everything was created from him and will be fulfilled through him. And this hunger sees. No, Jehovah is my breakthrough.
Yeah, and Apostle Joshua put it in the comments. He said, if I won't quit, I won't fail.
Amen.
Amen. So if as long as you're good with it, I want to go ahead and get into the first point that we have on the notes. Romans 4, 19 through 20, and I've got a couple. Actually, here, let me pin these really quick so I don't lose them. We're going to read Romans 4, 19 and 20. And if you guys have your Bibles with you, wherever you are, you can go ahead and turn there. But Romans 4 is talking about the testimony of Abraham and Sarah. Let me see. Romans 4, verse 20. Okay, Romans 4, verse 20 says, talking about Abraham and Sarah, says, yet with respect to the promise of God, he, Abraham, did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Actually, I want to back up to verse 19 and read that as well.
Yeah.
It says, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body. Again, talking about Abraham. Let me get back there. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body. Now good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. Abraham is, imagine all of the elderly folks that you've ever seen in like a nursing home or somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. Abraham was not I'm not going to say he was a feeble man, but he was 100 years old. Like, he was still living in a corrupted body, same way that we have to live in one. And so he was old. Like, he, in his logic and in his flesh, what God had promised in the promise of a son was kind of a stretch to look at logically. Yeah. But he said, but this verse says, as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, verse 20, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. And there's another place that this story is mentioned that I think is excellent. It's Hebrews 11. And Hebrews 11, if you've never read it, is all about faith. Literally, if you have any question about faith, I'm not going to say all of them will be answered in Hebrews 11, but if you're wanting to study more on faith, go read Hebrews 11. It is an excellent starting point. But in Hebrews 11, let me make sure I'm in the right spot. Let me see. I had it a second ago. Where it is? There it is. Hebrews 11, verse 11, actually. It says, by faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Mm-hmm. One of the main points that we wanted to make sure that we hit today was that we're not called to look at the flesh.
Yeah.
The way that the Lord had kind of given it to me, and that a lot of the times when I get stuff from the Lord, it's visual, kind of the same way that Barrett has described previously on the broadcast. So there's two different things that we're going to end up talking about today, or we at least have in the notes. And one of these ways is when we get off of hunger, one of the opportunities that we have to get off of hunger is by looking at ourselves and looking at the flesh and looking at the lack instead of looking forward to the promise of God.
For sure.
So if you guys haven't ever read the story of Abraham and Sarah, God promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. As we can see, we're all, you know, I'm a son of Abraham. Hi, how's it going? You are too. There's a song about it. But when God had promised him that, Abraham had received it, but then he went out and put his own works toward it. Yeah. That's how we got Ishmael. So if you guys have never read the story, Abraham was promised a son, and then he went out and tried to produce said son outside of what God had said would happen. And because of that, there's a whole bunch of other stuff that went down the line, and we ended up with Ishmael, which, not good. But when God promised him that, Abraham didn't immediately take that word, receive it, put it in his heart, and focus only on that. He started looking at, oh my gosh, I'm an old man, my wife is old, I'm 100 and some odd years old, how in the world is this going to happen? Mm-hmm. He looked at his flesh when he should have looked at the promise. It's in the title, it's in the thumbnail. Hunger doesn't look at the present. Hunger looks to the future.
Yeah.
And one of the things that you had mentioned earlier that I think is so important and so awesome is actually in James 2. Let me go there. James 2:26, it says, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. And in Hebrews 11, again, it says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. Mm-hmm. So when we have faith, we make the choice to look to the future, put on hunger for what he's promised us, and see it done.
Yeah.
When we put that on, that's how we get what he's promised to us.
Yeah.
Now, it's through joy that we draw from the wells of salvation, so obviously you have to wait for it in joy. And there's works that have to go.
Sure.
There's works that have to go along with it. But what you were saying earlier that stuck out so much to me was that faith isn't a stagnant thing.
Right.
Hunger is a choice, but hunger requires action. Mm-hmm. Hunger's not a passive thing.
Right.
And the flip side of what I had just mentioned a little bit ago, whereas Abraham took a moment and didn't look at the Father, he looked at his own lack. Another opportunity that we have when we're in hunger and wanting to hunger after the Lord that the enemy could try to come in and get us to focus on something else is when we've hungered and when we've put on that choice and made that choice to hunger after him and we've seen the abundance, we've seen the blessing, we've seen all the good things that God has stored up for us and we get complacent. And we say, oh my gosh, this is awesome. This is the hungriest I have ever been. This is amazing. God, you're so cool. I'm just going to rest, and I don't need to pray and read my Bible and do all of the faith things that I've been doing for the last month because I've reached a place of comfort. But if we reach that place of comfort, then we've dropped hunger as well because we're not doing the actions anymore.
Yeah.
The actions, it says it in this verse, it says, so faith without works is dead. Hunger without works won't produce anything. Mm-hmm. You can say that you're hungry all day long, but if you're not putting works to it, if you're not putting faith toward it, there's no backing behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. What's so cool, just want to point this out really quickly. In the story with Abraham and Sarah and Ishmael, like God himself declared Abraham as a righteous man.
Yeah.
He, like, and you see that too, even so many people in the Bible, so many people even now, like that I know personally and even with myself.
Yeah.
You see, God isn't looking to identify us with our mistakes.
Yes.
God identifies us with who we are truly in the spirit.
Yeah.
And you see with that story with Abraham. And yeah, he wavered once. He stopped meditating on the promises. He stopped believing that God could do it. And he tried to figure out how to do it in his own strength. And I know me personally, there's been times when I've tried to do things in my own strength and I've made an Ishmael. Not like I don't have any kids, but like I just know that there's things in my life that hadn't been the perfect perfect will of God, that I hadn't hit the target right on. And even in those scenarios, God has been so merciful and so loving and so kind to redeem the time. And that's what you see with Abraham and Sarah. You see, God still fulfilled the promise.
Yeah.
He still gave him Isaac.
Yeah, he did.
Just because he went out and made Ishmael, God didn't. You know, the giftings and callings of God are without repentance.
Mm-hmm.
So that dream that's inside of you, God is the one that can bring it to pass.
Yes.
Just like with Abraham, God still brought Isaac to pass, regardless of the mistakes. And I'm not highlighting sin or highlighting mistakes by any means, but we're in a corrupted flesh. And just as much as we see all throughout this word, the mercy of God, hunger sees breakthrough regardless of the circumstances.
Yes.
And those circumstances include mistakes.
Yeah.
Receive that mercy from God.
Yeah.
That includes mistakes.
Yeah.
Condemnation is not our portion. Condemnation is not our identity. Our identity is the righteous, blood-bought, blood-washed bride of Christ.
Yes.
And if God said about Abraham, he was unwavering in his belief. He is a righteous man. If that was God's declaration about Abraham, while Abraham still produced an Ishmael, what is God's declaration about us today?
Yeah.
Righteous. Righteous. That's how God sees us.
Yeah.
That's how he sees us. If the word tells us, this is 2 Corinthians 5:16. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh.
Yeah.
Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer.
Yeah.
We don't, if God says to not recognize anyone according to the flesh, it would be unjust for him to recognize us according to the flesh.
Yes.
In the same way, it would be unjust for us to recognize ourselves according to the flesh.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing that got highlighted a few months ago, I believe Pastor mentioned it in the service. Actually, it might not have been Pastor. It may have been Brother Tracy. Anyway, the thing that stuck out the most to me a few months ago when I read this verse, and when this verse was read to me, is that he doesn't regard anyone according to the flesh anymore. It says, therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. That includes you.
Yeah.
You are not to recognize yourself according to the flesh anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now, am I saying that you don't need to repent? You don't ever need to change your ways? Absolutely not. I repented for something this morning.
Exactly.
I have repented for probably three things today. Our flesh is corrupted. We live in a corrupted world. But the spirit man is righteous.
Yes.
Literally, the next verse says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Mm-hmm. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Back up to chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart.
Mm-hmm.
But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day.
Mm-hmm.
Our flesh is going to have junk that's going to try to be there. Literally, remind me, if you will, the verse that says, in this life you'll have trials, tribulations,
mm-hmm.
troubles.
But take heart. I've overcome the world.
Do you remember where that is?
Nope. But the scripture is, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I've overcome the world, because Jesus is praying to the Father, Lord, I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but I do pray that you keep them.
Yes.
So even in the tribulations, we have a promise of being kept.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, we're not to look to the flesh anymore.
Yeah.
We're to look to the Spirit. And though the Spirit may have, not the Spirit, though the flesh may have issues and things that try to come up, we don't regard that anymore.
Yeah.
Our job is not to look at that. Our job is to look at him. Our job is not to focus on the flesh. Our job is to focus on Jesus and the work that's already done and the things that he's already paid for, which is righteousness.
Yes.
We've been made completely new.
Yeah.
There is no part of your spirit that is not fully made whole if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We have the right to righteousness.
Yeah, amen.
It's so cool. And with that righteousness, that's not just the end point.
Yeah.
It's cool because we get to spend every day with him. And if we'll only hunger after him, he's so much bigger than we can think. He's bigger, he's deeper, he's wider. If you'll stay hungry, you will always have more to find in him. If there's anything you need, I promise you it is in him somewhere. All you got to do is hunger after him.
Yeah.
No, so cool.
It is. I like that you pointed out, you know, it's not to say that we don't need to bear fruit with repentance.
Yeah.
Repentance is, it's been made available through the mercy seat of Christ.
Yeah.
We have empowerment and an ability to approach his throne with boldness. And hunger really ties in with approaching his throne with boldness.
Yeah.
Because a hunger for the presence of God and a hunger for a intimacy and a closeness with God does require repentance.
Yes.
Because in this life, you know, there, like, again, going back to earlier where we're not condoning mistakes, and I just can sense the mercy of God today. Like, the Lord wants us to abide with him closely.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking about a phrase that the Lord told Brother Brian, is that he wants him to live his life in such a way that the devil himself could go through it with a fine-tooth comb and find nothing to accuse him over.
Yeah.
Now, how did Brother Brian get to that place? How is he working to get to that place? It's through bearing fruit with repentance.
Yeah.
It's the mind renewal. You know, repentance is just, oh, I was thinking that way. I'm not going to think that way anymore. Yeah. I was doing that thing. I'm not doing that thing anymore.
Yeah.
It's simple changes that we're making to continually bear kingdom fruit.
Yes.
Continually bear kingdom fruit. That's all that it is. So the word repentance, you know, it's not some like scary thing by any means. Like I can think like something, I think I was thinking wrongly about finances. It was just a couple days ago.
Yeah.
I was just praying to the Lord and I realized he showed it to me and I was like, oh my goodness, Lord, I am so sorry right now. I repent of that mindset right now, Lord. I ask you, cleanse my mind. I break all ties with that mindset. And I ask you for the empowerment to think better about that topic.
Yes.
And it's as simple as that. Because the Lord, going back to glory, faith to faith, increase to increase, the Lord is going to highlight things to us that we need to shift and change. How do we shift and change without repenting? Repentance is simply, it's that change. Lord, I've got to go after you to the best of my ability. I'm so hungry to go after you to the best of my ability.
Yeah.
Show me, Lord, give me eyes to see you and ears to hear you and a heart to please the Father. It's so pleasing to him. It's a fragrant aroma to him.
Yeah. John, 1 John 1, 2. Mm-hmm. Or not 1, 2, sorry. 1 John 1, 2. 1 John 1, 8. Says, if we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yes,
if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Right.
Literally, he is faithful to the point of clearing you from every sin you have ever committed.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. And the cool thing about hunger is, as you hunger after him more, he's going to bring up those things that we need to fix. As I've hungered after him more, I can list you off probably, I don't want to over-exaggerate, I can probably list you off 10 or 15 things in the last 6 months that the Lord has been faithful and just to continually bring up, not saying that I have had 10 or 15 things that I haven't fixed after the Lord has brought them up, though there have been times where he has had to bring things up more than once. He is faithful to show us the things that we need to change so that we can hunger after him better.
Yes.
And that we can get deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into him so that we can have more of an intimacy with him.
Yes.
I don't remember where it is. I need to get better with scripture references. But there's a verse that says, and this is eternal life.
Yeah.
That you would know the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And him who he sent, talking about Jesus. But eternal life is to know the Father.
Yeah.
And we get the opportunity as we hunger with him. He's going to bring up things for us to fix. But as he brings them up, all we got to do is exactly what you said before. Repentance is not a thing of beating yourself up or hanging your head low for the sake of hanging your head low. Mark, you put it in the comments. It's John 17:3, the scripture that I just referenced.
Mm-hmm.
Repentance is just flipping around the other way and going back toward God. If we're going in a wrong direction, he's going to be faithful to show us where we need to go. And
yeah.
Just as we've been talking, there have been so many different scriptures that the Lord has brought up. I'll go to John first, and then I'll go to Philippians. John 15:5, talking about Jesus being the vine and, yeah. and the Father being the vine dresser, literally, John 15:1, says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. One of the things that we have in our notes that Hannah put in is it's such an awesome statement. It says, hunger continues even when we've been filled by God. Hunger refuses to become carnal. Hunger refuses to become carnal and continues even when we've been filled by God. Yeah. What this verse is saying is, even when we're bearing fruit, even when we've been hungry and we're producing the fruit, He's faithful to show us what we need to fix. Not because he wants to beat us up or beat us over the head and say, mm-mm. Oh, you've done this stuff wrong. I made you righteous and look at what you've done. Not at all. He is not like that in the slightest. Every correction that he will ever bring is so that you can do better. Mm-hmm. Is so that you can bear more fruit and enjoy more of him and be in him more. We talked about it, I believe, 2 or 3 weeks ago, talking about receiving correction well. When we receive correction well, that brings us to a point where we can just produce better fruit. And it's so cool. And the last thing, and then I'm going to pass it back over to you. You had mentioned something about having righteousness not be from us. Mm-hmm. Righteousness is a gift from him. Yeah. He's made us righteous. Mm-hmm. Philippians 3 verse 9 says, and talking about righteousness, it says, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith.
Yeah.
Our righteousness doesn't come from ourselves. Our righteousness comes from him. Mm-hmm. Our righteousness is not based on works. Our righteousness is in him.
Right.
And the important thing that I want to make sure I highlight with that, and I want to make sure that we highlight, is that righteousness is not based on works. When he brings up things for us to fix, I don't know why I'm talking about correction so much today, but when he brings up things for us to fix, it's not so that we're more righteous. We're already as righteous as we're ever going to be because we've been made completely right.
Yeah.
As we hunger after him and he brings up things that we need to fix, it's only so that we can produce more fruit and be more in him.
Right.
It's only so life will get better.
No, exactly.
It's not to try to make things worse at all.
No.
And it's just so cool.
Well, it's cool too because like the word itself says that discipline for the moment, it will be sorrowful. But yeah. just for the moment, it's
yes.
momentarily sorrowful. But those who give themselves to it, being the correction,
yeah.
they will produce the peaceful fruit of righteousness.
Yes.
That, you know, there's a promise that I'll harvest righteousness as I give myself to discipline.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a promise from the Lord. And, you know, a hunger, this is cool about hunger. Hunger will sustain us through discipleship.
Yes.
You know, because discipline, disciple goes hand in hand. Hunger will sustain us through discipleship.
Yeah.
Because there's been times where I've received correction from leaders and there's been a temptation in my flesh to bite, I'm out of here, see y'all later. You know, like I am hiding, yeah. no one will see me, bye. But that's the flesh. The flesh, I don't know your flesh ditch, but mine was, I want to run. Like I can think of a time I was talking to Barrett and I literally walk up to her and I said, I want to run. And she was like, that's your flesh.
I remember that. I was there for that one.
And it's like, but like in that moment, that seemed like a discipline to my flesh to while my flesh is wanting to run away, going to disciplining it in that moment to then go communicate, to even be vulnerable to say, I want to run.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
it, in that moment, it's sorrowful to the flesh. It
yeah.
was not fun, but
yeah.
I realized, okay, the word tells me that I'll produce righteousness when I give myself to correction.
Yes.
So flesh, you shut up. I'm not considering you. Going back to 2 Corinthians 5:16,
yeah.
therefore we don't recognize anyone according to the flesh. So even though my flesh wants to deuces, bye, I don't identify with what my flesh is saying.
Yes.
You know, when our flesh wants to watch the new Marvel movie and the Spirit of God is saying, no, yeah. I don't identify with what the flesh is trying to say.
Yes.
When my flesh wants to go back to that comfortable addiction, but yep. the Spirit of God is saying, no, I don't recognize myself to what the flesh is saying.
Yeah.
And that hunger will sustain us to say no to the flesh whenever it wants to get weary, because the temptation yep. is to get weary in well-doing.
Yep.
But that hunger will sustain us, like Fallon put in the comments.
Yep.
Hunger will sustain us through discipleship.
Yes.
Hunger will sustain us through discipleship. And a yielded plant is a fruitful plant.
Yep.
A yielded plant is a fruitful plant.
Yeah. Put that in the comments. Yielded plant is a fruitful plant. I'm seeing more and more of where this may be going as we're going on. But hunger doesn't quit at the first sign of hardship.
Yeah.
Hunger doesn't quit when it gets uncomfortable. Hunger mm-hmm. keeps going. And we've talked about it multiple times throughout this week. That was pretty much not the entirety of the topic on Monday, but if you didn't get a chance to watch mm-hmm. the broadcast with Abby and Pastor Zach on Monday, please go back and watch it. It's like 5 days down in the live feed
yeah.
on the channel. But hunger doesn't quit at the first sign of hardship. Hunger keeps going.
Yes.
Hunger doesn't quit. And I think an excellent example of that is in Luke 8. It's talking about the woman with the issue of blood.
That's where I was going to go.
Look at Holy Spirit.
Good job.
Do you want to read it?
No, you read it.
Please.
Okay.
Please do.
All right. So we went over this on Wednesday, but I believe the Lord wanted to expand on it some more. Because, you know, the word is sharp and alive and active, living and breathing.
Sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide soul and spirit.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Or spirit and flesh.
Yeah, that.
That one. Yeah.
Okay, this is Luke 8, and we'll start at verse 42. For he had an only daughter. Oh, wait, no, I don't want to start there. That makes no sense. For he had an only daughter.
Yeah, well, let's skip Jairus and go to the woman with the issue
of blood.
That's
so funny.
Yeah.
Well, no, but I wanted to read about the crowds pressing on him. Okay, so Jesus is going. He's going to heal Jairus' daughter. Amen, hallelujah. He had an only daughter about 12 years old, and she was dying. But as he went, the crowds were pressing against him.
Yeah. Verse 42.
Yes. And a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. And immediately her hemorrhage stopped. And Jesus said, "Who is the one who touched me?" And while they were all denying it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone did touch me, for I was aware that power had gone out of me."
Yeah.
When the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came trembling and fell down before him and declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." And you know, this is cool. She knew that she was immediately healed because she knew what it was like to be in that position.
Yeah.
You know, and this is what's so cool about God. God sees you. God's seen you praying to him. God's seen you crying to him. God's seen you when you sow your seed. God's seen you when you've asked him questions. God's seen you. You know, man might miss something, but God won't.
Yeah.
God will not miss it. He can't. He is just and loving and kind. And this woman, she had such a comfortable memory of what her ailment was like that the moment it was healed, she was able to recognize it.
Yeah.
The moment it was gone, she was able to recognize it. And what's so cool about testifying to what the Lord has done, testifying is so key because people haven't known what it's like. People don't know exactly what you've been through or what the Lord's done for you. Testify of what God's done. Testify of how good he's been. Testify to what he's done. Like it says right here, she declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him. And now she had been immediately healed.
Yeah.
And what's so cool about this too is everyone in that crowd, everyone that was pressing on him, I can guarantee that they had needs.
Yeah.
Every single one in that crowd, they probably had someone at home that needed to be healed. They probably had some in their body that needed to be healed. They probably had, you know, some financial need. Why? Because why would we need Jesus if there wasn't any lack that was going on before him? You know, the people that were on the earth at that time, they needed a Messiah.
Yeah.
And so it's not that they didn't have needs. But what's cool about this passage, and we can see about the heart and the character of God, is God doesn't just respond to my needs. And this is a quote from Buddy, actually. God responds to my faith.
Yeah.
God doesn't respond to my needs. He responds to my faith.
Yeah.
To my faith. And hunger is the faith that says, I'm unwilling to go without it.
Yeah.
I'm unwilling to go without a touch from God.
Yeah.
I'm unwilling to let him pass by me without receiving what I need. And every person in that crowd could have received what they needed.
Yeah.
But this woman was at such a point of dire hunger. You know, she was probably starving, really.
Yeah.
She had to have a touch from him. And it's that unwillingness to go without him. An unwillingness to go without him.
Yeah.
And the Lord says to her, daughter, your faith, so that upholds what we just said. God doesn't respond to my needs. He responds to my faith.
Yeah.
Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Go in peace. And this is how we overcome the world. By the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, we loved our life not even to the death.
Yep.
This woman, she didn't love her life unto the death. Because her choosing to go into that crowd, what she had to have a willing decision in her, made up in her mind that she could lose her life.
Yeah.
Like that's the line that she was teeter-tottering. She said, you know what? I don't care. Even if they stone me, I've got to touch him. I don't love my life even unto the death. I don't love what this world can offer me. I don't love what my flesh can give me. I don't love what my comfort can give me. I have got to touch Jesus.
Yeah.
I've got to touch Jesus.
Yeah. The such a cool part of that story, yeah, you mentioned it a second ago, was according to Jewish culture and Jewish law, she was ritually unclean. She would have and should have been, according to the law, stoned for being in that crowd.
Yeah.
Just being around them. That was enough by that law for her to die. And yet she still made the choice. She said, if it costs me my life, I'm touching him.
Mm-hmm.
And not even just being around them. If she had touched a rabbi, Jesus was a rabbi.
Yeah.
Like,
for sure.
That's a whole different strata of, okay, if you're just around people, that's not good. But if you touch a rabbi, that's bad news bears.
Bad.
She was willing to put her life on the back burner to go after him. And I want to correct something I said earlier. I said faith, not faith. Hunger doesn't quit at the first sign of hardship. Hunger doesn't quit at the first sign of hardship to the flesh.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Hunger doesn't quit at the first sign of hardship to the flesh. It doesn't quit at the first sign of discomfort.
Yeah.
But it also doesn't quit at the second sign of discomfort, or the third sign of discomfort, or the 837th sign of discomfort. The word commands us to not get weary in well-doing.
Yes.
What she made the decision to do was put her flesh, her entire life at that point on the line, just to get what she needed from Jesus. Just to get that. Her hunger outweighed her life. That's the same way we can and should be today. Our hunger has to outweigh our life. And not just our physical life, every part of our life. Our family, our friends. It's in Mark. I'm not going to go there. I've quoted enough scripture for the day, but in Mark, it says, no one has left house or mother or father or brothers or sisters or homes that he will not receive as much now, but in the life to come as well.
Mm-hmm.
God will bless you for leaving those things behind as he leads you to. Am I telling you to go ditch your family and ditch everything that you've ever known to go pray in a field somewhere? No, but am I telling you not to do that if the Lord hasn't led you to do that? Also, no.
Right.
Whatever he leads you to do is what you need to do. But we need to be willing to put everything on the back burner and leave everything behind to go after him. And when we will do that, we have no limit to what he will do for us and to the amount of blessing and glory and power that we can see work through us. Jesus wasn't the only one that could walk with that. Jesus wasn't the only one that could lay hands on people and see them healed. Jesus wasn't the only one that could walk on water. Jesus wasn't the only one Well, he was at that time the only one that could do that. But now that we've been made righteous, you and I have the same ability to do that. Yeah. He said, you will do these works and greater.
Yes.
We have the ability, if we'll hunger after him, we have the ability to do greater works than Jesus. And I will be honest with you right now, that breaks my brain. That does not make sense to my logical mind. But at the same time, I've seen it. In the Philippines, I've seen it. John is watching right now. Pastor Rudson was on as well. If you guys are still watching, when we went on that miracle tour last January, for any of you guys who haven't heard these testimonies, I've seen a boy who hasn't eaten, who can't talk, who's in nothing but pain, be held by pastor. Not that pastor is anybody special in and of himself. Obviously, he's a gift from the Lord, but only because he's hungered after him and sought the Lord and put the time in. Not in his own works, but sought the face of the Father, sought Jesus. He worked through him, and that boy was healed completely. Completely. Pastor Zach, if he was here, he loves giving the testimony. Yeah. Like, the amount of times I've heard him say this, I was there when it happened, and he legitimately has not lost a bit of that luster since it happened. He watched the hand of God go out and close up a goiter on a woman's neck. Legitimately. Like, baseball-sized thing, like lump on her neck, go... gone. All because we hunger after him.
Yes.
All because we won't settle for anything less than what he's promised us. All because we're not willing to do without.
Exactly.
All because we're willing to put our life on the back burner and put that as not our priority and seek him first.
Yes. Well, hunger realizes too that my life is not my own.
Yeah.
You know, I've been bought with a price.
Yes.
And just like the Apostle Paul says that he praised God in the jail cell because he saw that his chains for Christ were causing other people to be set free.
Yes.
You know, being in chains for Christ is an honor.
Yeah.
Being in chains for Christ is an honor. Like living a life that's bound to Jesus. I am one with Jesus. Like
yeah.
When you cut covenant, like we've done series on this channel about covenant, but we had a course at our university on covenant. And covenant isn't something that's broken. Covenant is not something that's light. Covenant is a very, very serious thing. And God, we have a covenant with God. God Almighty.
Yeah.
And that hunger that says, Lord, this covenant that you've given me everything, Father. You've given me everything.
Yeah.
You've given me the breath in my lungs. You've given me this family. You've given me the ability to study your word. You've given me the ability to think on your word. You've given me the ability. Every good and perfect gift comes from him.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't I hunger for him?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I hunger for him?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not like what's so amazing about the love of God is it just baffles me, truly, is that he's not forcing it on us.
Yeah.
He's not ever once forced his love on us.
Yeah.
But he's given us a choice to choose to love him, a choice to choose to hunger for him, a choice to choose to apply faith for breakthrough.
Yeah.
And that choice to choose is love, because love has to be a choice. And this is the mercy of God just in eternity, is he's given every person a free will to choose.
Yeah.
Like Sammy put in the comments, God is a gentleman. He doesn't force anything on us. So this word today, all the veins that we've gone through, none of it is a force.
Yeah.
None of it is a striving. None of it is works.
Yeah.
It's a recognition that God is love.
Yeah.
That God is so good and so perfect and so kind and so very, very, very worthy
yeah.
of all of our praise. All of our adoration,
yeah.
All of our lives, all of our sacrifice, all of our finances. My money isn't even my own.
Yeah.
I couldn't even produce it without the strength in my body. Everything good in our lives is God.
Yeah.
He's God. You know.
Yeah.
Alpha,
Omega.
The Omega.
You know, he's God.
Yeah.
And I think the more that we meditate on the awe and the wonder and the majesty of God, the more we'll hunger to be close to him.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's amazing.
He
there's
is.
There's really, like, I've tried, I've prayed, I'm like, Lord, there's got to be more English words to describe it.
Yeah.
And I just run out of words.
Yeah.
That's why we pray in the Spirit, but.
Praying in the Spirit's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
I'm ready to pray if you're ready.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Amen. Let's do it.
Lord, we just love you so much. We thank you, Father, for your kindness. We thank you, Lord, that you are better than the best. You are deeper than the deepest. You are bigger than the biggest. And Lord, right now, we just come before you and we ask you, reveal to us every area in our lives that we need to yield over to you. Lord, right now in the anointing, we ask you to show us clearly, clearly how we can hunger after you. Show us areas that we've been doing it of our own strength. Show us areas where we need to trust you more and step into rest better. Lord, we repent of any mindset that was not of you.
Yeah.
And we ask you right now to cleanse us, Jesus. Set us free. Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, you are Lord. And if you're watching this broadcast and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, or if you're saying, you know, I kind of drifted away and I want to be closer to him, you just confess this with your mouth. Jesus, you are Lord. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you defeated death, hell, and the grave. I believe you're coming back for me. I believe I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. And Father, we just praise you right now.
Yeah.
We trust you with our lives. We ask you right now for such a presence of your fire, a presence of your anointing,
yeah,
an equipping in the presence of God,
yeah,
an equipping in the presence, an equipping to hunger, an equipping to say no to the flesh,
yeah,
and yes to the Spirit,
yeah,
to yield easily. To yield easily.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You have anything to pray?
No, we're good. Yeah, and put this in the comments. Today, I choose to hunger after him.
Yes.
Today, I choose to hunger after him.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 Glory to God.
Well, guys, thank you for joining us today. This has been awesome. I've really enjoyed today.
Good word.
Good word indeed.
Yep.
Well, we love you guys very much. Thank you for joining us today.
Yes.
If you guys have Leading to Sow, we don't have the ability to put up lower thirds today, but we have Cash App, Venmo, mm-hmm. PayPal, Text to Give. If you want to go to giveww.org, that has all of the different giving options that we have available if you have Leading to Sow.
Yeah.
But let me preface it with this. Do not sow under compulsion. Only give if you have leading from the Lord to sow into this. But I promise you, this is good soil.
Amen.
And if you have leading to sow, if you want to sow, if you're hungering to sow and hungering to grow, this is good ground.
Yes.
And it will return, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So,
yes.
As you guys sow, we just want to bless the seed. So right now, Father, thank you for the opportunity to sow. Thank you that we have good soil that we get to sow into on a daily basis. Thank you for the word today. Thank you that it takes a deep root
mm-hmm.
and is fruitful in Jesus' name. And for every seed sown today, Father, thank you that it is pressed down, shaken mm-hmm. together, running over, producing abundant fruit
yes.
for the sower. In Jesus' name, mm-hmm. in every area. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, thank you very much for joining us. Pastor or Sammy or somebody who is logged into Pastor's
Marky.
YouTube account. Marky. Thank you, Marky. Put in the giving link, whatsright.com/give. You can go there as well mm-hmm. to give, but
also, we do have partnership.
That's
if
true.
The Lord has been placing it on your heart. You know, I want to partner with what this ministry is doing. Then we have that as well on whatsright.com. It'll be just /partner instead of /give.
Yep.
But yes, so we're going to the Philippines here in May. We're
yeah.
going to Mexico a couple months after that. And I'm sure Pastor will be going to other places as well.
It's hopping.
But yeah, it's our year of triple time heaps.
Yeah.
And that grace that's on this ministry, when you partner with it, that grace comes upon your life.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we stand before the Lord and all the rewards of What's Right Ministries, Boomerang Church International, those rewards we'll get to share with together in it. That's going to be a great, great time.
It's going to be awesome.
Truly. But there's a work to be done today, so we're doing that work. And we do have a couple announcements.
Yeah.
So we have a Partners Camp meeting coming up.
Yep.
That's going to be
August 6th through the 8th.
Good job.
You can go to whatsright.com/campmeeting to register for that.
Mm-hmm.
Same way you went to whatsright.com/givenpartner. That's going to be the 6th through the 8th. That's one of our major events that we do every year. So we have Kickstart at the beginning of the year, and we have the Partners Camp meeting probably about three quarters of the way through the year. We've already had Kickstart for this year, so you're going to have to wait till next year to get another one of those. But the camp meeting's coming up in August, and it is going to be phenomenal. I am looking forward to it.
Yes, and the Financial Breakthrough Meetings with Brother Eddie. That will be May, I want to say it's soon. It's like 5th through the 7th.
Yeah, it's May. That sounds right. May 4th through the 7th?
May 4th through the 7th. May
the
4th be with you in your finances. No, I'm just kidding. But, and we also have 6 a.m. prayer that will be here on Monday on this channel.
Yep.
But
don't have to go anywhere, literally. And if you want to be notified about that and every other video that we have going on the Brian Wright YouTube channel, you can click the subscribe button down over there and hit the little bell right next to it, and that'll notify you every time we go live or post a video or do anything like that.
Amen.
Amen.
But until all that stuff, we will see you again on Monday for another, 6 a.m. prayer first, and then noon. But we'll also see you Sunday for church, and we'll just see you a lot because we love you.
Because we love you guys. But until then, thank you for joining us today. Go have an awesome rest of your Friday, and until we see you again, we love you guys.
Bye.
Bye. Never, 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 never